Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. I'm so glad that you guys joined us today as we spotlight Rhea Mixon, who is a serial entrepreneur. But this busy woman wanted to ensure that you guys also know that she's a mother of four children and that she is a wife. So those are pretty important positions for her. But not only that, Rhea also works as a health coach and helps other people deal with some beauty issues or things like that. But as you guys know, I think my guests are always so much better at introducing themselves to the audience. So Rhea, I'm going to ask you to just tell the audience who you are.
Hello, everyone. I am a mom, like you said, and a wife. I own several businesses. Everything that I do, I enjoy. I'm a health coach. I'm what you call a specialty coach. So those with issues like arthritis or any type of autoimmune diseases, knee issues, I help coach them so that they can continue to move. And I also own a tea company. And I'm an herbalist and I have a meal prepping company.
Wow. So you're pretty, pretty busy.
Yes.
And that's that's amazing. But just one of the things I want you guys, just to remind you guys that about a couple of episodes ago, we actually had Dawn Hewitt on and we talked about the fact that we are going to be on the Glow 365 show that is hosted by Mia Allman. And Rhea happens to be one of the panelists that's going to be on that show too. And so one of the things that we're focusing on is suicidal thoughts and when those things show up for you. So today, Rhea is going to be sharing her story of when she had to pull on the extra inside of her when the same week that she attempted suicide, her brother succeeded in his attempt. Rhea, will you share that experience with our audience, please?
Sure. I was about 19 years old and I was dealing with a lot of trauma that I went through as a child that I never got help for. And so every now and then I would get depressed about it, go into a, you know, dark place where I didn't want to live anymore. And I would say that particular day, a lot of thoughts were in my head and I wanted it to stop. I just didn't want to think about what happened to me. I didn't want to, I just couldn't no more. And I went in to the bathroom where my mother had a lot of volumes and pills, and I took about 42, and I went in a closet and I lay down and I fell asleep. And during that time, in my thoughts, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna go to sleep and I'm not gonna wake up and all the pain's gonna be gone. But I woke up, don't know how, but I woke up. I woke up, I don't know how long it was that I was asleep. I know I was, there. People were looking for me, but I had locked myself in the closet so that I wouldn't be found while I was going through the process. Mm-hmm. When I woke up, I was vomiting. I had, my sister was next to me and she was like, what did you do? What did you do? And I'm just vomiting a lot. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. And what happened after that with your sister? Did you go to the hospital? Did someone talk to you? Did you start doing therapy? What happened after that, Rhea?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay.
I come from a family of we're all alike, all of us. My mom has seven of us. The ones that I do know of, even the one that was close with me, she had her own issues. So I didn't have people around me that could help me. And back then I kept everything silent because at the same time I wanted to do that. But then my other side didn't want, like my child taken away from me or anything like that. So I kept silent.
So at that time, you were already a mom. You said you were.
I had one.
You had one child. Okay. And so the concern for you was that if I go out and I seek help and I'm honest about what I did or what I'm going through, that might impact your being able to keep your child with you.
Yes, because I was a great mother. It was just the pain was consuming. And even when I did that, when I tried to do that to myself, I made sure that, my son was okay. It was almost like, I planned it that week. I made sure that my son was with my husband's side of the family.
Okay. So this was something that because you did mention that the thoughts had this was thoughts that had been going through your mind several times. And so was this the first time that you attempted?
No.
No.
I tried repetitively when I was even a child. I can remember far back as 11 years old, and that I was in a hospital for. I was
Okay.
taken, I was in a hospital. They put my stomach and everything.
At 11 years old. And so since then, 11 or even before then, you had been trying. And though you had gotten into a relationship, had a baby, the pain was still consuming for you.
Yes, and then of course it got worse.
Yeah.
When a couple of days later, my brother shot himself.
Now, Rhea, you said my family, we were all alike. What does that mean?
We all had issues and trauma, all of
Okay.
us.
And so that felt like there was not any support for you with them. And because there was so much trauma, and we would call that some trauma bonding also, your brother attempted and was successful with that.
Oh
Are
yes.
you okay talking a little bit more about that?
I'm sorry if I have to stop, you'll know.
Okay. So was this a brother that you were particularly close to? Like what happened? What was going on then?
Yeah, we're very close. We live next door from each other.
Okay.
Him and I were similar in age because at the time I was 19 and he was 22. Him and I did everything together. The day before, I know my I'm thinking it was about 2 days before he asked if he could talk to me about something. He wouldn't say what. And I never got to talk to him. I don't know what he was going to say or anything like that. Because the father of my child, we weren't married then, but he came from the military to come see me. And he took me to go visit his family, which was in Virginia. And he proposed to me and he married me. On my birthday when I was 19. So, and mind you, I attempted that suicide a couple of days before. And then a couple of days later, like I said, my brother passed. He wanted to
So.
talk to me, but I couldn't because my fiance at the time wanted to take me to visit his family.
So that must have created some feelings for you in terms of he wanted to talk to me and I didn't get a chance to do that. Can you tell me some of those feelings that that engendered for you? Because I know you shared a little bit earlier that the anniversary of this event has occurred. And that's how many days? Was it 2 days ago you said, or?
What's today? Today is the is today the 15th?
The 15th, yes.
Okay, so he passed on the 13th.
On the 13th. Okay. So Rhea, what are some of the things that you continue to struggle with at this point, especially regarding your brother's death?
Thoughts in my head. I have a sister that was, I used to live with my sister and we lived next door from my brother, and my mother lived upstairs from us. And my mother had a nervous breakdown when she saw my brother. So he went into early Alzheimer's because of that trauma. And then my sister suffered trauma because they were there. I would have been there.
So in that dark, dark time for you, Rhea. What was the beam of light that kept you going?
I guess my children. We had several doing things with them, being a part of PTAs and field trips and working the professions that I love was very, very important to me. Very. I didn't want to do anything that would stress me out more than I was. So I would do things and take up things that I enjoy because I'm also a makeup artist since the 90s and I loved makeup. Then I got into fitness, and to me, all that went together. It was skin wellness, body wellness that made me happy. So I guess doing what I love to do helps. But there is sometimes when I do get some triggers. The other day I was fixing something and it was red. And that was a little trigger for me.
What do you do when those triggers show up for you?
I cry. I'm not. I'm not the type of person to cry over things that are nothing. It takes a lot because I go into like a crying or an anxiety when I've suppressed. Because that's what I've learned to do, even as a child, suppress. My mom taught me that. My mom taught me that, feel the opposite of what you're feeling. Create that other scene, which is a very interesting story that my mother shared with me about how to do that. But I lived by that.
Has that been helpful for you in terms of suppressing or creating the opposite of what you're feeling? So it almost sounds as if mom was giving you a strategy for taking control of the situation and recreating it to make it something that you would prefer it to be. Has that been successful for you?
Yes and no. Because when I do that, it's only like a band-aid. It's not helping in the long run. is just helping me to be a switch. Mm-hmm. Just like now, you know, in my head, I say, stop crying, Rhea, and I stop crying.
But it's, even though that's what you do, what do you do? Like, let's say now mom has given that to you, so that may be the automatic response that you have. Are there other strategies that you have developed in place that allows you to go through this process when the pain shows up and the pain is so deep and the darkness attempts to show up and become overpowering? What are some of the strategies that you use to manage that? Not the switch, but something else that you've now put in place.
My businesses, what I love to do. I love business planning, you know, taking my businesses from, I started my businesses with nothing. And I built them all myself, you know. I worked 2 to 3 jobs, saving for one job. And, you know, it means a lot to me. So my businesses, everything that I love to do, really helps me. It keeps me focused, and it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's, I'm looking at you and I hear the upbeat quality of your voice coming into play. So I can hear the joy. And again, you mentioned that this was something that you figured out during that dark time, that deliberately engaging in the things that bring you joy, identifying those things and then practicing them, has been something that you have been able to hold on to help to manage. So it was just amazing to hear the joy come into your voice as you described your business. But I also heard the empowered strength that showed up, because you said, I built this, I did this. It almost sounds like a reminder that you are stronger than you thought and that you are valued. Did I capture that correctly?
Yes.
Awesome. So Rhea, one thing I'd want to ask you is, during that time, what's something that you learned about yourself that you didn't know, that's a positive thing that you realized?
I'm tough. I know some people that know me, they're like, Rhea, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, I don't know. But I learned how to love every part of me, even the messed up, you know, Rhea that, you know, thinks about things that pains her. And then I have that other part of me that I've survived different, you know, issues also with my health. And that's why, in being a health coach, you know, specialty coach, that gives me life, teaching people how to live their healthiest version. And I tell people all the time, I have clients that have so many different issues. It could be mentally, it could be physically. But doing that really helps me, because I'm helping them.
That's awesome. It sounds like what you are saying, Rhea, is that you have learned to examine and accept all the varied pieces of yourself, and that some of your strength comes from, in that acceptance, being able to share with other people to give them hope.
Yes.
That's an amazing strength to discover, right? That you're not perfect, but it's okay.
Yep. I would say I'm not perfect, but I'm purposed.
I love it. I'm going to write that down. Anybody always gives me these gems, right? So now I have to write this down and connect it to Rhea. She's not perfect, but she's purposed. That's awesome. People, make sure you're writing that down, because that was a gem that she dropped. So Rhea, I have to also go back, because again, I always want to see the whole person. I never want to give our audience the idea that any one of us is showing up perfectly. Again, like you say, we're showing up in all of our good, bad, the highs, the lows, the uglies, the pretty. We just want to be real, because we want to touch our audience's heart and let them understand that it's okay for them to be real also, for them to not be perfect, but to be purposed. See, I told you I was going to bring it in there. All right. So, Ria, if you and looking back, if there's anything that you would change, and it could be nothing, but if there's something that you would change, what would that be?
So many, but I'll just try to pick one. I would have stayed in school, and not be with the wrong crowd when I was younger. I think that was the beginning of my issues, trying to seek things at the wrong places.
Okay, so your choices, you would have made some different choices at
Oh,
that
yeah,
point.
definitely. Definitely.
Okay, all right. And so, one of the things that I like to do is to take that advice and just to kind of say to our audience, be mindful of the choices you're making because of the consequences that can be associated with them.
Lifelong, yeah.
Lifelong consequences. All right. So, I always have to ask this. In talking about self-care, were you practicing self-care during that time?
No.
No. What was
No.
going on? I
That's
know
some.
you were a mom of a little one. Sounds like your fiance had been deployed. So self-care was a challenge for you at that time.
It's something that I eventually learned, in my older age.
That's going to be my next question. Are you practicing self-care now? And what advice do you have for women listening out there in terms of the importance of self-care?
So with me, it's important for me to take a break with my busy life because even though I love everything that I do, it's important for me to still know that I'm human, I'm a woman, I need a time out because if not, I'll just keep going, going, and going. So I do take the time every day for about an hour to be with myself. Mind you, I am very introverted. I am a by myself person. So whenever I'm talking to people or I'm in groups, that takes a lot out of me. But I still do it. But I do practice the self-care by, giving myself that time with myself. It really helps me a lot. I'll listen to music that I love because I love dancing, I dance by myself. I love it.
It's usually best if I'm dancing by myself too, because the feet don't always work the way people want to see it. But I think it's so awesome, Rhea, because it just sounds like you continued with the process that you identified years ago, that to pay attention to the things that feed your soul, the things that you enjoy, and then to deliberately incorporate them into your life. The joy of being a mom shows up for you. The joy of doing these businesses and reminding yourself of just how strong you are and how capable. And I know that's like a New York term, so I'm just going to own it. I'm tough, right? Of reminding yourself that even when life shows up with that stuff, I'm tough. And then that singing and dancing, amazing. Absolutely. As we're coming to the end of the show, what words of encouragement would you give to a woman who's walking the path you walked before?
We're all going to go through different seasons of our lives. If I could have asked for help back then, I would. So I encourage everyone to get help, the right help, not friends' help, but professional help, because it's going to help. It's very important to not be in denial of the situation that you're in. So that would be my advice is to get help. That's super important because when you get help, you start to learn how to help yourself. It's to practice, practicing every day to be better.
Awesome. You know, it's so funny because that is one of the key things that seems to run through all of our guests so far in the show is to remember that it's okay to get help.
Yes.
It's okay to ask for it.
And it's okay not to be okay, you know, but it's important to get that help. We bottle a lot in, especially being busy can sometimes, you know, hide that. So it's important, you know, to speak to someone.
Awesome advice from this amazingly busy entrepreneurial woman who has walked through life and kind of held on to the things that life has thrown at her, good and bad, organized it, and continues to keep it moving. Absolutely awesome, Rhea. Absolutely awesome. So now, with all these wonderful things that you're doing out there in the community, if someone is listening and says, that Rhea is awesome, I need to get in touch with her. She knows the story. She knows the struggle. She knows how to get past all of that. How do they get in touch with you?
They can go on riamalleyfitness.com and also especiallyjustforyou.com. I have other websites, but those are the two main websites where people can reach out to me.
Awesome. And also, just a reminder that Rhea is also going to be a part of a panel of amazing people who are going to be on the Glow 365 show, hosted by Mia Almond, who's also the founder of KUO Magazine. The show is scheduled for Tuesday, May 10th, 17th, and 24th. And we're all going to be working together. A couple of weeks ago, you guys heard Dawn Hewitt. We also have coming up Evangelist Laquana Glaster, also aka Lady Q, Ruby Marbury, and I will be on there. And we will also have a grief recovery specialist and a soul therapist. But in the meantime, also want to take the time to remind you that there are resources out there. And as Rhea said, reach for help. So I want to just give you the suicide hotline prevention hotline number, which is 1-800-273-8255. Remember that you have a purpose, and remember that there's help. As Rhea said, do not hesitate to reach out if you need help. Right? Right, Rhea? Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
All right, perfect. All right. So I want to say we've just finished listening to Rhea share her story of how she had to pull on the extra inside of her when the same week that she attempted suicide, her brother succeeded in the attempt. Well, guys, you know, I just love featuring the extra that shows up when we women are challenged in our ordinary lives. Thanks for joining us on the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. I'm Dr. Max. And if you want to share your story or you know a woman who would like to, please send me a DM on Instagram at Her Story, Her Journey. That's Her Story, Her Journey. And as always, remember this that has been said in 2 Corinthians verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am is strong.